Good morning, New Covenant, and welcome wherever you are. This morning we're going to start the service by reading John 21, 1 through 6. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net.
Soft field of clover, moon shining over the valley, joining the song of the river to the great giver of the great good. As it unfolds me, somehow it holds me together. Singing, still it comes ringing clearer than clear. And here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise you. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are.
thousands too numb to feel. I know it was stormy, hope it was for me learning, but on the road wasn't mine though. Someone that I know walked here before.
And the flowers fall,
and the flowers fall,
watch over. Hi, this is Roberto and Cheryl Sabas reading Acts 9, 1 through 6 and 10 through 16. Meanwhile, Saul was still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During the journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?"
Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?"
"I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do."
In Damascus, there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias," he answered. "Yes, Lord."
The Lord instructed him, "Go to Judas' house on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias enter and put his hands on him to restore his sight."
Ananias countered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man. People say he has done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name."
The Lord replied, "Go, this man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name."
Jesus, to walk with me. Hello, beloved community, citizens of the kingdom of God coming among us. This is Pastor Renee, writing and recording from a Texas airport hotel where I've been delayed for a bit on my return. I do enjoy traveling, in spite of and including the complications and unexpected difficulties. I love experiencing a variety of climates, nature, and culture, and it enhances my appreciation for home. I love you, my community, and appreciate our little niche in Champaign-Urbana even more after experiencing the wonders of the outside world. I think it is appropriate and important to pause, feel, and acknowledge the bonds of love that hold us together. We are each other's chosen family, and I am so grateful for each of you, including those I have never met, whose names have come to me through other brothers and sisters, and those with whom I share a neighborhood where we cross paths on our walks, those who lived in Champaign-Urbana for a time and have moved on to other parts of the world, all who are members of this community of God's family in the world. In today's readings, we encounter three devout Jewish men, faithful to the commandments, respected by their peers, who were each changed by an encounter with the word of the risen Jesus. Peter, who was one of Jesus' inner circle throughout his ministry. Saul, who was training as a religious scholar and had never met Jesus. And Ananias, also a pious Jew and follower of the way in Damascus. None expected Jesus to appear as they went about their work. None sought a change in direction or a life-altering word from the Lord. But God had plans for each of them to be instrumental in expanding the kingdom message beyond what they thought possible. Perhaps Peter understood Jesus' resurrection as a personal comfort. His best friend was somehow alive again through yet another miracle of God. Peter had returned to the small, familiar world of fishing with fellow disciples who shared his experience. Saul understood God's laws in deep detail and was passionately committed to their strict interpretation. He defended the purity of religion to the death, which demanded the elimination of the latest radical sect called the Way. Ananias understood that embracing Jesus as Messiah had become dangerous and was committed to protecting his community of believers from those who would destroy them. Jesus' words to each of them commanded more radical inclusion than they could imagine. Jesus identified himself as the other in need of care, of feeding by Peter, of relief from persecution by Saul, of healing of enemy blindness by Ananias. In these three encounters, we observe the core tenets of Jesus' ministry before his death: feeding, teaching, and healing. As I have been contemplating these three experiences of the word of the risen Jesus, I have wondered what I need most, what you need most, what we need most as a community. Which of these experiences speaks to us in our present situation? Which resonates with us at this moment? And while it would be simpler to have focused on one narrative, digging deeply into the details that apply to our lives, for me it was the whole of these three taken together that communicated most powerfully Jesus' impact on our lives. Jesus speaks to us when we need his voice, whether we know we need a change or not. Jesus comes in the morning, feeding us with real food. Jesus appears in the brightness of noonday, breaking through our misunderstandings and wrong-headed thinking. And Jesus can change our mind about a person when all of our logical arguments point one direction. Jesus advises us when to reach beyond our boundaries and welcome someone with a second chance. So let's dig a little deeper into these encounters, putting ourselves in each person's position, inviting Jesus to also speak to us. Peter and the other disciples who were fishermen by trade have returned to the Galilee. After an intense 3 years with Jesus, having left their nets to follow, that journey ended. Not in an overthrow of the Roman government, but in death. They have seen the risen Jesus when he appeared to them as they hid behind locked doors in Jerusalem, but they are still unclear on what comes next. I understand why Peter and his friends went back to Galilee, their hometowns, to the wild body of water, to the boats and work that made sense to them. Those of you who love water, who seek the power of sea and sky to orient yourself in the world, think of how you return to those waters to think, to discover and remember who you are. Peter and his friends are unmoored after Jesus' sudden descent from praised coming king to betrayed and crucified outlaw. They feared for their lives, and they are utterly confused. The confusion is what I most connect with, the what now? What does Jesus' resurrection mean for them personally? Do they go back to their wives and their lives? Do they pick up where they left off? Fishing is like riding a bicycle, maybe. They have done it a million times. They know the ropes. Perhaps those 3 years with Jesus were about personal spiritual growth, since they obviously were not about regime change. Maybe they should just be grateful for the journey, gathering with friends who shared the experiences to tell the stories. Like going away to college and then bringing that knowledge back to your hometown, where what you learned will always inform your life going forward as you resume the family business and responsibilities that you were raised and trained to fulfill. Strange that everything seems to go wrong that first night when Peter goes fishing, inviting his longtime companions along. What did they expect to happen out there on that sea? Did they spend all night second-guessing themselves? The choices they made 3 years ago to follow that rogue rabbi? What were they thinking that night out on the sea when time after time their nets came up empty? Did they feel cursed instead of blessed? Stupid instead of brilliant? Ashamed, scared, looking to the wind and the waves and the nets for answers? But they come up empty-handed until a stranger on the beach in the morning tells them where to cast their nets after a night of fruitless labor. I wonder if they were fishing for answers even more than for food. And I think we are invited to remember those times in our lives when we go out to the water, when we stay up all night, trying to reorient ourselves. Jesus' arrival, presence, appearance, both confused and clarified everything. They thought maybe they were supposed to go back to fishing. That was their gift, their comfort zone, their skill set. Maybe they had been straying from their lane by following the itinerant rabbi. Shift back to the familiar, to what they were good at. But Jesus upends those possibilities. No, no, you were right to follow me. And now your job is much bigger, to spread the good news. Assuming you love me more than fish. Now you are to care for the sheep, to be shepherds rather than fishermen. A shift in identity, a redirection of passion. Jesus frames it in terms of love. Do you love me? He asked. More than these. Of course, we answer. We left everything to follow you when we barely recognized you. Now we will leave it all again if you ask us. Consistent with his identity as teacher, Jesus leads with a question. Sometimes the obvious answers, of course we love you, lead to less obvious conclusions, then take on a new role of caring for my people. What question might Jesus have for you today? For me? For us? If we love him, what then are we called to do? We are not all Peter. The question and the answers are individualized. Our one-on-one conversation with Jesus might look quite different than another's. Jesus's question to Saul was very different. A why question. Why questions are perhaps the hardest. Why are we doing what we are doing? Why are we living out our faith in this way? Why are we treating people this way? Why did we choose to be on this particular road, on this mission, working for this goal? Jesus calls Saul by name. Jesus knows Saul, his gifts, his passion, his dedication to the truth. But Saul doesn't know Jesus. They have never been introduced. So though Jesus leads with a why question, Saul responds with a who question, identity. Who are you? Who am I? Who are these people that I thought were the enemies of God? The identity question is one that each of these individuals and each of us wrestles with. For Saul, it is, who are you, Lord? And the answer is unexpected. Jesus identifies himself both as the man from Nazareth and the people who follow him. Jesus' identity is both higher and more common than we can grasp. Jesus speaks with authority from heaven, and Jesus is the people who serve him. In what ways might Jesus want to reveal himself unexpectedly? Do we need an encounter with the blinding light, power from above? Or do we need to recognize Jesus in the people we meet? I am encouraged to be reminded that Jesus knows each of our names, whether or not we have met Jesus, known him, or recognized him. Jesus knows you and me. Jesus calls our names. And he called the disciples as he called Saul on the road. Jesus speaks our name and sometimes changes our names, even as he changes our lives. The why question from the Lord is left unanswered in the text. Perhaps that is what Saul contemplated in the 3 days he spent in prayer and fasting, waiting for the next word. Why indeed? Sometimes we need to retreat and pray through the why questions. Sometimes the answers to the who questions change everything. Who is the Lord? And who are we in our response? How might our world be changed by the answers? Jesus called Saul to redirect his passion, to expand his understanding of the truth, and in turn share that passion and truth with others. As Peter was to shift his focus from fishing to shepherding, Saul was called to shift from excluding those with unorthodox beliefs to including those beyond even Jesus's earthly ministry, Gentiles who knew neither the law nor the Lord. Ananias had yet a different calling, to heal blindness and fear through the touch of intentional family. Jesus comes to Ananias not with a question, but rather a direction. Go, include the enemy. touch him and call him brother. Be the agent of healing. Perhaps this is the calling that Jesus has given you, to heal division, to expand the table of fellowship, to be family to those who are alone. The funny thing about Jesus leading with direction instead of a question is that Ananias argued with him, laying out the logical objections to this outrageous ask, to clarify that he was being told to do something dangerous. Just checking, Lord, is that really what you meant? Sometimes we too need to double check. Are you sure, Lord? That seems like a bad idea. Again, it is a question of identity. Who is Saul? Who is he to become? Our identity in God is sometimes different than what other people, or even we, see. We thought our calling was one thing, but it turns out to be radically different. We used to be accepted by one group, but now we are sent to strangers to be the instrument of inclusion. Saul used to be a roadblock, guarding the truth from wide interpretation. Then God called him to be a bridge, inviting the obviously excluded to join in the truth. From narrow to wide, from exclusion to inclusion, starting with Ananias modeling it to Saul himself. Three men, all faithful, all leaders, all following God as best they knew, all changed by the word of the Lord, all called to go beyond the boundaries that they understood, called to feed, to teach, to heal, to extend Jesus' work beyond what he had done on earth, to be the hands, feet, and voice of the Lord. Their passion is redirected to conform to God's plan, not their own, beyond logic and familiarity. Sometimes Jesus comes to us unexpectedly with a word of change, and other times we seek him out to listen, on the water, in the middle of the night, in fasting and waiting, or in prayer in our rooms. Jesus is present through community, through our brothers and sisters, with words of healing and welcome. And Jesus is present at the table, inviting us to eat and drink and take in new life. Perhaps today you are wrestling with questions of direction, what to do, as Peter was. Perhaps there are questions of identity, who is the Lord? And who are you to God? Perhaps the why of what you are doing needs some scrutiny. Or maybe you just need to hear again that Jesus knows your name, your strengths and weaknesses, and loves you and calls you. Perhaps you are ready for a change in name or vocation. At different times, as different people, we need different things, and all of those call us into the widening community of believers to be part of the feeding, the teaching, the healing, the family of God. Wherever we are, at sea or on land, in the night, the morning, or bright noonday, with friends, co-workers, or all alone, Jesus is near, never leaving us, never forsaking us. May this word of life and love change us too, that we might grow ever closer to our calling as children of God.
Jesus. makes us stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Be our sweet agreement at the meeting of our lives. O Jesus, we love you, so we gather here. Join our hearts in unity and take away our fear. So to you we're gathering out of each and every life. Christ, the love between us and the joy.
Open my eyes that I might see your presence with me. Open my ears that I might hear the words you have for me. Open my heart and fill it with you, that you may be all I say and do. Lord, make my life a living sacrifice, humble, obedient to you. Open my hands and let me give praise to your name. Open my mouth that I might speak the name of Jesus. Open my heart. all I say and do. Lord, make my life a living sacrifice, humble obedient to you. Lord, take my gifts and let them flow with grace from your hands. Rivers of life flowing from you through this desert land. Open my heart and fill it with you, that you might be seen in all I say and do. Lord, make my life a living sacrifice, humble obedient to you. Humble obedient to you.
I'm trading my Good morning, New Covenant. We pray that you are well wherever you are. And now for the benediction. Holy God, you have called us to follow in the way of your risen Son and to care for those who are our companions, not only with words of comfort, but with acts of love. Guide us in the path of discipleship so that as you have blessed us, we may be a blessing for others, bringing the promise of the kingdom near by our words and deeds. Amen.
Jesus said, your faith said, if you ask him, you shall receive. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, that I'll give you all that you need. Blessed are
blessed are